Welcome to The Commentaries, a podcast series from TAN in which you'll learn how to read and understand history's greatest Catholic works from today's greatest Catholic scholars. In every series of The Commentaries, your expert host will be your personal guide to not just read the book, but to live the book, shining the light of its eternal truths into our modern darkness. Visit tancommentaries.com to get your copy of the book and to subscribe for access to all the great reading plans, new episodes, bonus content, and exclusive deals for listeners of The Commentaries.
Today is day 20, and we'll be covering chapter 11, part 2 in the 10th edition of the book, covering the immense desires of the little flower. But before we jump into this timeless memoir and spiritual guide, let us begin with a short prayer composed by the little flower to the Holy Face. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, Amen. O adorable face of Jesus, so beauty which ravishes my heart, vouchsafe to impress on my soul thy divine likeness, so that it may not be possible for thee to look at thy spouse without beholding thyself. O my beloved, for love of thee, I am content not to see here on earth the sweetness of thy face, nor to feel the ineffable kiss of thy sacred lips, but I beg of thee to inflame me with thy love, so that it may consume me quickly, and that soon Thérèse of the Holy Face may behold thy glorious face in heaven. In the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. The story of a soul, written in obedience, gained universal demand as it looks upon the spiritual childhood. Pope Pius XI said it brought great profit to souls. End of quote. It kindles charity. Last time we discussed how Thérèse is now a missionary in heaven, sending roses as signs, and how jealous she was for those living in the end of times during the Antichrist. This is a sign of how she is so filled with God. Today we'll look at many things, including one of the most beautiful exhortations on love that I've ever read, and how she gives a penetrating insight to the communion of the saints and how to engage them for good. But first, she speaks of great desires. An apostle she wishes to be, a prophet she wishes to be, and a doctor of the church she wishes to be. She reads St. Paul and the Corinthians, and it brings her consolation to a degree. We cannot all become apostles, prophets, or doctors. The apostle goes on to explain that the most perfect gifts are worth nothing without love, and this more excellent way of going to God is charity. So she's on to something that the world misses, how important it is to have a pure intention with everything we do, not to have any duplicity, and we do things because we love God, and we do things because we love our neighbor. If we hate our neighbor, that's a sign that we don't love God. And so she gives one of the most beautiful exhortations on love I've ever read. Listen carefully. Charity gave me the key to my vocation. I saw that if the church was a body made up of different members, the most essential and important one of all would not be lacking. I saw that the church must have a heart, that this heart must be on fire with love. I saw that it was love alone which moved her other members, and that were this love to fail, apostles would no longer spread the gospel, and martyrs would refuse to shed their blood. I saw that all vocations are summed up in love, and that love is all in all, embracing every time and place because it is eternal. And this reminds me of how important the contemplative religious are. They're like the heavy artillery 60 miles behind the enemy's lines. They never go out to the battle. and engage with face-to-face combat, but they stay at home and do combat, raining in fire from above on all the evil in the world, and their vocation is love, because they won't be recognized as doctors or prophets or anything external. It's all internal. But that means that their work is that much more powerful because it's purely spiritual. And that's why God is pure spirit and He is infinite. Next, we see more about the Univ-Way. In the Univ-Way, souls love God for Himself, not for fear of hell or some glory that fades here on earth. Listen to what she says. My heart does not yearn for riches or for glory, not even the glory of heaven. That belongs by rights to my brothers and angels and saints. Mine will be the reflection of glory which shines upon my mother's brow. Then we see a true vocation of templatives summed up. Striking deeds are forbidden me. I cannot preach the gospel. I cannot shed my blood. But what matter? My brothers do it for me, while I, a little child, stay close beside the royal throne and love for those who are fighting. She never lets slip a little sacrifice, how to become a dryad in the spiritual life. And she says this, so, my beloved, shall my short life be spent in your sight. I can prove my love only by scattering flowers. That is to say, by never letting slip a single little sacrifice, a single glance, a single word, by making profit of the very smallest actions, by doing them all for love. So that's the secret of becoming a spiritual giant. Never letting slip a single little sacrifice. So dear soul, maybe you have a problem with sacrifice and it perturbs you to even think about it, let alone to do them. But you can change that in an instant from the writings of this saint. Never letting slip a single little sacrifice. This may seem impossible to do, but you can simply pray that you will never let slip a single sacrifice, begging God our Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to give you this gift of an intense love, which is shown by our willingness to suffer. Then she called to mind a prayer. And she speaks so much about the communion of saints. I call to mind the prayer of Eliseus, asking the prophet Elias for a double portion of his spirit, and putting myself in the presence of all the angels and saints, I said to them, I know I am the least of all. I know how worthless I am. But I also know how much noble, generous hearts love doing good. So I beg of all you happy citizens of heaven to adopt me as your child. The glory which you helped me to acquire will all redound to you. Hear me and attain for me, I beg, a double portion of your love. So this is that penetrating insight in the communion of saints. Notice the words redound to you. The glory which you helped me to acquire will all redound to you. So the saints in heaven, as time still exists, their glory can be increased by the church militant. And so they're longing for us to beg them to come into the fray of the battle that we in the church militant face. And these words from Saint Therese correspond very beautifully how we need to get into the fray and to beg all the communion of saints to fight. And this should give us a special love of the Apostles' Creed. We can think about what we just said today. Whenever we hear that phrase, the communion of the saints, we believe in the communion of the saints. They are the church triumphant. They are victorious, and they want us to join them in victory in heaven. But God still wants us here, and now is the time to fight for the kingdom of God. As Jesus taught us in the Our Father, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come. Then she speaks of love and charity eloquently. This will invest them with an infinite value, and she will scatter them upon the church suffering to put out the flames, and on the church militant to make her victorious. I love you, Jesus. I love Mother Church, and I never forget that the least act of pure love is of more value to her than all other works put together. So again, it's that purity of heart, that purity of intention to love God, to do all things for Him, not to have a mercenary love where we do love God, but we do it because we get something out of it in a temporal way, or we fear hell. It's a good thing to fear hell, but the higher love is not to love God because we fear hell, but to love God for Himself, as I've said often. To love God for His perfect goodness, His perfect beauty, His perfect truth, and His simplicity. She is a great lover of Christ, He the eagle. She longs to see His holy face. And we close with these words. For as long as you wish, I will stay with my eyes fixed on you, longing to be fascinated by your divine gaze, longing to be the prey of your love. I hope that one day you will swoop upon me and carry me off to the furnace of love and plunge me into its glowing abyss, that I may become forever its happy holocaust. So, dear souls, after reading this spiritual classic, listening to this commentary, I hope that you will allow Jesus Christ to come deeper into the very depths of your soul so that He can be that eagle that will take you into His talons, just as the eagles find those pockets of warm air rising up, and they circle there and they fly to the sun, looking and gazing upon it. May we gaze upon the face of the Son of God, of Jesus Christ, who is brighter than the sun. But someday, may we be able to join Saint Therese of the Child Jesus and of the Holy Face, to gaze on the face of Jesus without it burning our eyes, without it causing us any harm. And that's why we have to be purified in this valley of tears. And if we do make it in the state of grace past this life, and we have to go to purgatory, we need to be purged of all the dross so that we can be purified completely, so that we can finally see God in the beatific vision, seeing Him face to face. And that brings us to the end of day 20 in our Stario of Soul. Thank you so much for listening and for joining me on your journey to grow deeper in the spiritual life. Until then, God bless.
This has been an episode of The Commentaries, a podcast brought to you by Tan. To follow the show, study more of the greatest Catholic classics, and to support the commentaries and other great free content from Tan, visit tancommentaries.com to subscribe and use coupon code COM25 to get 25% off your next order, including The Story of a Soul and countless more spiritual works to deepen your interior life and guide you to heaven.